The following podcast contains adult language, explicit content, and original opinions.
All content is the opinion of Comics Brew and no one else.
It is meant for mature audiences only, so be warned.
Hey, Tyler, before we get started, do you want to hear something funny?
Yeah.
Adam's Twitter account got hacked.
What?
It was originally by some chick named Debbie Page who was posting, I don't know, pretty risque images. And I sent Adam this and he goes, yeah, that's my bitch.
Yeah, he's been talking about this Debbie chick for a while. So are you sure it got hacked?
I just gave her access to my Twitter account and said, have fun.
What's she posting?
Risque photos because she a freak.
Yeah.
Freak nasty. I love it. I love it. I just want everybody to know, and that's why I gave her access to my Twitter.
Got that freak nasty bitch girlfriend.
That's right.
Jesus Christ. Well, now apparently it's now owned by someone named Wanda Benson.
Yes, my side bitch.
Who, I mean, that's Wanda.
Yeah, they know about each other.
Tyler, here's Wanda.
Very nice.
She also freak nasty.
They freak nasty together. So if you too want to see the epicness of Adam's Twitter account, it's at Adam Elric with a C underscore LK.
Yeah, that shit got hacked, but I haven't used it in since the early days of a show that doesn't even exist anymore. So
I still used to quote you on Comics Brew. I'd be like, this is some stupid shit Adam said. I should find some of those old tweets.
I remember one of them was, yeah, I don't care. I'll be a fucktard for some froyo.
Yeah, that's right. All right, let's get into Comics Brew. All right, yo, welcome back to Comics Brew, episode number 237. These be the nomination episodes. Brewsy's coming up.
Yeah.
But we got to get through some stuff first. First and foremost, do you guys want to talk about Star Wars real quick?
Shit was pretty
dope. Yeah, it was fucking fire.
Yeah, I think it's probably the best Star Wars movie ever.
I don't know about ever. I'm still thinking about
it. Yeah, I am too, because there's some of the things in that movie that bother me, I haven't been able to process how much they bother me yet.
Yeah, I'm going back on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
So I want to get a re-look at it.
I want to get a second look at it as
well. I don't need to be the fanboy anymore. I can actually look at it critically if I want to. I'm still going to freak out, but I'm excited.
Yeah, there are...
Boba Fett showing up was weird.
Yeah, Darth Vader not being dead, super odd. But
I think we said this fucking joke 2 years ago.
Yeah, I did, and it's still funny.
I mean, I guess.
Tyler, you're just a wet blanket.
No, I'm a person. No, I'm a real human being.
You are ants in a picnic this morning is what you are.
No, I'm ants in a man suit. Just a pile of ants and a
million
suit.
Ants.
I just pulled the queen.
I am the queen. I'm the ant queen.
We got that forever. even if you delete that from this, I've got that for the rest of my life.
Oh, that was my Christmas gift to you.
What are you drinking, Christmas gifty?
Real quick, before we move on to that, though, the last thing I want to say about Star Wars is, although there are some parts of it I didn't like, it's also got some of my favorite Star Wars moments in it.
And so, it's fucking gorgeous.
It's a beautiful movie.
So, I mean, yeah, I definitely need to see it again. But anyways, yeah, what are you drinking, you little fucking...
Bitch boy.
Drinking
bitch boy.
Beer.
Drinking cool. Beer.
I guess I got some beer.
Moving along.
Right the fuck along.
Smart ass.
Dogfish. You fucking started that.
I'm drinking a Dogfish Head Syracuse Nera. It is a oak aged beer, and I got a picture of the logo or the label so I can tell you about it. It's got notes of coffee, dark chocolate, and anise from a blend of roasted malts melded with flavors of plums, cherries, and stewed fruits from Syrah grape.
I'm glad it's not fruited stews.
I know, right? That would be really weird, but it's kind of a decent beer. It's really dark tasting. You want to try it?
I do.
Too fucking bad. Here, you can try it. Too bad.
I'm good.
No, Tyler, can I get a try?
I'm really over it. You can go ahead and keep that.
They say third time's a charm.
I'm sure it is.
Tyler, can I try?
Yeah, here. What are you drinking, Adam?
So last night we had our company Christmas party, and they bought a bunch of beer, and we were having a little shindig at the warehouse, and at the end of it, they were like, "Please take the beer." So I walked out with some, thank you, Kirkland craft brewed porter ale. So got that Costco brown porter going on.
Holy crap, Tyler, that beer is strong.
Oh yeah, it's 10%.
Hoo boy.
I needed it.
So yeah, I'm drinking generic porter, but it's not bad.
So I want to know, is it true that Costco vodka is Grey Goose? I've heard that rumor for most of my life.
Made in Costco vodka is made in France.
It's Grey Goose.
A lot of people that drink a lot of vodka say that it tastes exactly like Grey Goose. I could not answer or I could not speak on that though.
So both Kirkland and Grey Goose are made in Cognac, France, with distillation techniques sourced from the neighboring Cognac houses. The vodkas are 5 times distilled in a state of in state-of-the-art distilleries. Both are made from 100% fine French wheat, and both use pure artesian spring water originating in the massive mountains of France.
So it sounds like it's made identically, but not by the same company.
But it's even in the same fucking town.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know, honestly, no, you know what it is? It's probably the company that makes it probably does several brands.
Oh, I can see that.
And yeah. It's just bottled differently, and they might have slightly different procedures. Like, the Grey Goose might have one or two extra steps, but it's made by the same facility.
Sure. I'm no fan of vodka.
It mixes well.
It mixes well with most things.
Yeah. I think vodka is amazing.
Why?
Because it's delicious.
And doesn't leave much of a smell?
Or a taste. Yeah.
Basically. I actually drink a decent amount of vodka. Vodka Red Bulls.
Yep.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That's how I was able to shoot pool until 2 o'clock in the fucking morning.
Yeah, that's not for me, man. So you got your Kirkland beer. I've got Fremont's Bonfire Winter Ale. It's pretty cool. It's got a Pegasus on it with... it's totally a heron. But it's got fire on it stuff.
Oh, that's sweet.
Pretty dope. Winter Ale, good stuff. And then Ninkasi Slayer Winter Ale.
Oh, I've had that before.
I love this one.
It's pretty decent.
Pretty decent. Yep. So, a little bit different. We're not going to do any reviews today, but we do got a bunch of news to get through.
Fuck comics. Books are for dumb people.
I don't like them book readings.
I can tell. You sound like you belong on Duck Dynasty.
I wish I had Duck Dynasty.
Dude, yeah.
They're rich as fuck.
Exactly.
No, I know.
I would totally live with being on Duck Dynasty and being a hick for that kind of money.
So you just live with being a hick and off of Duck Dynasty for no money?
No, I'm not a hick.
I mean...
You're close.
I'm not a southern hick.
There's Did you shower this morning?
No, I'm just seeing you. Why would I shower?
I showered. I'm seeing you.
Oh, well, that's fine. I'm showering before I go do other things in the real world.
I like you
more. That sounds like a real hick thing to say.
Did you shower this morning, Tyler?
No, because I'm hungover, and I didn't wake up till it was barely time to get here.
You were before I was.
Well, that just means you're lazy.
Well, I won't argue.
But yeah, we're doing...
You know what else we can't argue? We can't argue that Punisher got renewed for season 2.
Yeah!
Yes.
So
I'm surprised stoked. In the slightest.
Yeah, it took him a month after the release for it to renew, but that's pretty quick. Took Luke Cage 2 months.
That's true.
Took Iron Fist. Haven't heard yet.
No, it's starting.
Oh, it is?
He's starting. Pre-production's already started, I
Damn
think.
Damn it.
Man, I really hope they fix that.
They got rid of Scott Buck.
Did they?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a move in the right direction.
Yep. Yeah. Like, I think maybe their biggest issue is they wanted to slam it out for Defenders.
Oh, I could see that.
Really? It also wasn't like the whole, we're not going to rehearse any fights.
Or well,
anything
I think that's
part
came,
of it.
That came out of that. They just needed
we're
it.
We're in a
to
hurry, go. So you get to one go through of the fight before we film.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Take your time on that move, on that shit. Make
they also didn't utilize the music for Iron Fist like I thought they would. Anyway, we'll get into that
Punisher
later.
Season
Punisher
two.
Season 2. Do you think they're going to go with Jigsaw? We'll get Jigsaw in.
We fucking better get Jigsaw.
Okay, obviously, Agent Madani's going to be there still.
Mm-hmm. I'm fine with.
Will they bring back Karen Page, you think?
I'm sure.
She's
been
a big part for him.
Story,
she's a big part of him, even though she's only been in like 3 episodes this season.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they bring her back.
It ends to where he's pretty much free to do what he wants. I don't see any reason why he wouldn't be talking to her. It's not like he's hiding anymore.
Well, so it's also time to it's also time to cross over. Frank needs to cross over and just into the other stories now.
I don't know if he's gonna.
I know, but he needs to cross like his show. It's now his show's turn to cross over.
Oh yeah,
he needs to cross over into either Luke Cage or into Daredevil again.
Oh, it'd be sweet to see him cross into Luke Cage.
I think so too, right?
like Luke Cage gets set up and Punisher's around killing people and tries to shoot him and just like, oh shit.
Dink, dink, dink. That does fucking nothing.
Yeah, Frank would get his shit pushed in hard, but I'm stoked. Season two, keeping
true to Marvel's word, they're keeping it at Netflix. Like yep. The whole Netflix logo and everything is on that announcement. So I'm really happy that that's still gonna go down. Kingsman 3 is also in the works, and Matthew Vaughn is on board.
Now, I haven't seen 2, but I love 1. So, 1 is
an amazing movie.
Yeah.
So 2 is fucking great. My brother and I saw it. I've got it. It's so good. So it's free on. It's not free on Vudu, but it's on Vudu right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. Julianne Moore is a fantastic fucking villain. She's much better than Samuel L. Jackson, I think.
Who was still pretty good, I think.
Who was still okay, yeah.
But he was just also that. Just like he just plays Sam Jackson. Sam Jackson dropped in this world. What?
Nerd Sam Jackson.
Yeah, well, I mean, in fucking Star Wars, he just played Jedi Sam Jackson.
Yeah, he's the best Jedi ever.
Nope.
No, I disagree.
He's pretty good.
No, Obi-Wan is pretty good.
Oh, yeah, Obi-Wan is probably the best
Jedi. Okay, Obi-Wan's the best Jedi ever. He's badass. I'm just saying. Mace Windu's pretty cool, too.
He is. He is.
But anywho, so Kingsman 2 dope.
What
Kingsman
does Yoda 3... look like? Why are you trying to fuck him like a bitch? Sorry. Kingsman 3. It is already in pre-production and like the script writing process is going down. Let's see. Visual effects supervisor Angus Bickerton said, "We've had the briefest conversations with Matthew about it. He's got plans, but we are sure that with the success of number 2, it will be a thing."
Did 2 have any sweet action scenes like the church scene in 1?
Hell yeah. It's got a couple of them.
Well, I'm asking, did it have like anything like that? It's like one big crazy take, mm-hmm. like a big... Okay. Yeah.
Maybe not as long, but it's got more gadgets in it and shit.
Okay. I gotta watch
it. It's also done to Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting from Elton John.
Perfect.
And there's a reason for that in the whole movie. So like you gotta... I just spoiled a little bit for you, but it's been out.
Elton John's in the movie?
A little bit.
Okay.
I can live with that spoiler.
Okay. Let's see. He initially, the story goes that Matthew Vaughn previously indicated that he envisions a third installment in the spy comedy franchise, as well as spinoffs. He says, "I think there's a story in my head which will be finished by the end of the next one," Vaughn said. "And then after that, of course, there could be Statesman movies that could spin off characters from the other films."
I think it's crazy that...
It came out of Mark Millar
book that didn't have a sequel, and now it's like it's having movie sequels.
The book has a sequel. It's out. Yeah, the Kingsman has another story out.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I think issue 4 just came out, but it's recent. It's after the movie. Let's see. Kingsman
Red didn't have a sequel, and it was only 3 issues long, but it has a sequel for the movie.
Huh.
Red 2.
Red's a damn good movie.
And Red 2 is pretty much right.
Yeah,
the
Red
same
Diamond.
Lines.
Sorry, so go ahead.
Oh, yeah, and I mean, it's good. It's an enjoyable movie, you know?
Red is great. Especially Mary Louise Parker's character.
Red 2 is also pretty good.
Right on. Carl Urban's in him.
Yeah.
And so is John Malkovich.
And mm-hmm. isn't Bruce Willis?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, he's the main character.
Yeah, that's right.
So, yeah,
you can watch Red 2. It's actually pretty damn good.
Kingsman the Red Diamond number 1 came out September 6th, 2017.
Oh.
But I think it follows the movie a little bit more because it's written by Rob Williams and it's drawn by Simon Fraser. Yeah. That's okay.
Well, what else we got?
It is a sequel to the Mark Millar, Dave Gibbons Kingsman story. What else do we got? The Walking Dead got a release recently for the official reveal of their game, their 2018 first-person shooter style game. It's just a cinematic trailer following someone who looks a little bit like... What the fuck is Rick's...
Tyrese,
yeah. It looks like you're following Tyrese in the early days of the apocalypse.
Do we know if it's going to actually follow a character that we've seen before, or is it just set in the Walking Dead world?
It's set in the Walking Dead. I think it's a first-person shooter set in the Walking Dead world. It's going to be developed by Overkill, who made the Payday franchise.
Okay.
Payday is a pretty dope first-person game.
Yeah,
heist game. Yeah, I don't know if you've had a chance to play it, but there's some in-depth game tactics that go on.
I believe it. I always wanted to. I just never had the chance to.
So if they at least adhere to that, it'll be great. It's also going to be multiplayer, probably not LAN multiplayer, probably over Link, you know.
Yeah, most multiplayer is these days. Yep.
But if the graphics on the cinematic are any indication, it should at least be visually stimulating.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, if I'm not mistaken, there's going to be a lot of melee weaponry as opposed to...
I would hope so.
As opposed to, like, gun weapon. Yeah. I would assume, like, guns are pretty rare, you know, in this series. Yeah. So be on the lookout for that. It's just called The Walking Dead game for right now. It's developed by Overkill, and it's supposed to come out in 2018. This trailer comes off of the PSX and the Game Awards. There were a ton of games and stuff that were released during that. We got another in-depth look at the Spider-Man game, which is really fucking cool. We did it with the developers. The Last of Us Part 2 had a huge, huge part of the Game Awards.
Yeah, my dad just got a PS4. I can't wait to buy him Spider-Man so I can go play it on lunch.
Dude.
Yep. Yeah, that game does look fucking rad,
Mr. though. Negative being the bad guy and shit. Yeah. Miles Morales is already in it.
And he might not even be, like, the main bad guy, either.
Mr. Negative?
Yeah.
It's fine with me.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, we see him as
Shocker's in it. We've already seen the Shocker.
Shocker, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Adam made the Shocker symbol.
I did.
Let's see. So, guys, are you ready for the next Marvel event? Actually, ever since Legacy, every comic is an event.
It's all an event.
Yeah. Have you found that to be true at all, anybody?
No.
I haven't even...
Marvel.
Has anyone read a Marvel comic after Legacy?
I don't know if Kingpin came out after Legacy.
Legacy was after Secret Wars.
I'm reading Miss Marvel.
Okay, so you are?
Yeah.
Does that feel like an event?
I mean, it's awesome. So does that count?
No.
Oh, well then no.
Well, Marvel's next big event is going to be called Infinity Countdown Prime.
Yeah, I guess.
That sounds
gross. I think the event is going to be called Infinity Countdown, and then it's going to start off with a comic called Infinity Countdown Prime, which makes me think, okay, so they're definitely embracing the whole, like, this is the one true universe.
And, I don't know. It almost feels like Marvel is just trying to become... Marvel Comics are just an extended ad form for their fucking movies.
Oh, of course.
Well, yeah, for sure. This is going to be
That's
happening.
That's all it seems like.
This is...
This event is going to be alongside Infinity War.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
This is going to begin in February. It'll probably culminate to the big climactic scene right during May.
Oh, yeah.
Which I'm fine with. This story will begin right around the time Black Panther comes out.
Hell yeah.
So
it's gonna be dope.
Whereas I think comics should be like an incubation process for the movies, which I've doubt, which they have been up until now. I think the current stories need to be a little bit more non-linear with the stuff that they're making.
Yeah, like so the way DC did it for Injustice, I really liked. And Injustice 2, the game.
Oh, the game. Yeah. They made a side story.
They made a side story. It's its own title. It's its own book.
They did it for DCU Online, too.
Well, that's right, they did. But it was its own entity. It didn't influence so much of their actual world.
Yeah, that was New 52 was going on during all that shit.
Yeah, and I think Marvel should look at it the same way.
It's not a bad idea. They tried to do that with Guardians. The Telltale Universe Guardians of the Galaxy has a comic.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Oh, I
haven't read it, but it looks just like the Telltale game.
Hmm.
So I wonder, like, okay, yeah, we have the gripes on that one. But so the premise of this is the Infinity Stones individually, they grant their wielder great power. Together they grant the power of the God. Newly reformed and scattered throughout the universe, these artifacts allow the ones who claim them their heart's desire. Now, as their locations are discovered, forces converge for a battle that would begin the universe to take the universe down a dark path to the end. Jump onto this exciting ride that will lead to the biggest infinity yet, plus the saga of the Infinity Stones, what they are, how they came to be, from creation to destruction to recreation. This prose primer will tell you everything you need to know about the legendary cosmic gems. Do you remember when they did the Heroic Age, and at the end of it they did the retelling of the original Avengers? They did like prose retellings of the original Avengers?
Yep.
That sounds like what this is going to be.
Kinda. That could be interesting.
So we know that Logan has one of the stones. We know that Star-Lord's going to have another stone.
No, I think about it. I have read a Marvel comic besides Ms. Marvel. I read the book that kicked all this shit off. Thanos 13.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, Donnie Cates?
Yeah, it was Thanos? Actually pretty rad. Like, Thanos is just out chilling, and a cosmic Ghost Rider comes up to him.
Really?
Like, space Ghost Rider, because he's like, hey, come on, man, my boss wants to see you, let's fucking go. And then he whips out a shard of the time gem.
Okay.
And it's the first one that Thanos has seen since they were destroyed. And Ghost Rider takes him to the future, the very end of the universe.
Who is it?
It's old Thanos.
Oh, okay.
Like, ancient Thanos, and his throne is in, like, Galactus' skull and shit.
Nice. Like, Maestro for Hulk, but yeah. This, yeah.
And he's, you get to see flashbacks of, like, how he killed everybody. You actually see the Maestro. You see him...
Oh, for shit.
No, yeah, no, no, see him killing the Maestro.
That's awesome. Have you ever seen Maestro, Adam?
Uh-uh.
He's old Hulk.
Like a future, evil future Hulk.
And he's really? And he's super intelligent.
And like, he's got this fat beard.
Yeah.
It's rad.
Like, he looks like Highfather if he was green.
Okay.
Highfather's the new god leader.
Yep.
Sorry, never mind.
Yeah, I'm not reading any Marvel.
It's not Marvel. Highfather's DC.
I'm not reading really any DC either.
Are you reading anything?
A little bit here and there.
So, we'll find out.
Yeah.
So, what do you think about this? Are we excited about it? Are we looking forward to it?
Eh.
Yeah. We'll see, right?
We'll see.
We didn't mention creators, which we should. Jerry Duggan, who's in charge of the Guardians of the Galaxy, is doing the writing, and the art is going to be by Mike Deodato Jr. You might know him from Dark Avengers. He did Dark Avengers with Bendis.
Yeah, he's done a lot of stuff.
Oh, sure. He did parts of Vader Down. He's done a lot of Star Wars stuff.
He has really weird proportions, big old muscles on guys.
Yeah, and big old tits on women. Like, yep. This guy is pornographic almost.
Oh, I don't know if I'd say pornographic.
He's very 90s.
He's very, yeah, very 90s. Decent artist, though.
Yeah, solid.
He did Warren Ellis's Thunderbolts.
He did. He also did Warren Ellis's Secret Avengers, or whoever did Secret Avengers, he did the art for.
Well, Warren Ellis's Secret Avengers was a different artist every time.
Oh, it was?
For his original run. Every issue is a different artist.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
Well, he did one of them.
No, it was Dave. I think Dave Aja did. If anybody did more than one, Dave Aja did.
Okay.
But either way, yeah, no, he did. You're thinking Brubaker's.
Yes, Brubaker's Secret Avengers.
Yeah.
And he did that, didn't he?
Yeah, he definitely did Brubaker's Secret Avengers.
That's who I'm thinking of. Woo! It was
How
after
do you keep
Siege.
All of that in your head?
Because I'm just awesome.
I do the same shit.
I ain't got space for that.
I know.
Tyler's hungover and he's got more trivia in his head.
It's all just rattling around in there.
Pretty much. Mine too.
All right. What else? What else?
Wow. Some fucking what else?
What else is happening in news, Joshua?
Well, how about...
Because we got some big fucking news.
That's the big news. That's the next one.
Yep.
Go ahead, Tyler.
Disney bought Fox. Yeah!
$52.4 billion later.
Jesus Christ.
Now, one thing that's necessary, the two companies reached an agreement, 21st Century Fox and Disney reached an agreement over their movie and television rights. The thing that matters is that's going to go through about 12 months of examinations from like the FTC. So what that means is, tentatively, yes, Disney has the rights to Fox properties, but it's going to need ratification by the government to make sure this is non-monopolistic.
I mean, they're going to have like a 40% stake in all entertainment.
Yep.
Which is crazy.
That is insane. Disney is becoming it is now a media juggernaut. Like, if they weren't already, they are now.
But what it means for us...
Plebs,
us...
We get all the good Marvel stuff in one universe.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
We get all the Marvel stuff in one universe.
Not all of it.
What's not all of it?
Namor.
Oh, yeah. Whatever.
I said the same thing when he told me that shit, dude.
Why don't we get Namor?
Universal has the rights to...
The Submariner?
Yeah.
Fuck that.
But
Is it because it's the monsters or something like that?
No, I looked it up. And
no, the monsters.
I think, Adam, I told you that it was like in the 90s, but it's actually in 2001 that Universal
bought.
Yeah,
when they were dumping properties.
Yeah, they bought the rights, but it's kind of tied up weird. I think it's something like... I think Universal has the distribution rights to a Hulk film. And that's,
I can totally see that.
If you watch the Incredible Hulk...
Yeah, Universal's logo's up.
Yeah, and that's part of why it's so hard.
Well, shit, if you watch the first
Hulk movie.
If you watch the first Iron Man, Paramount's logo's up.
Yeah, and the rights kind of have come back to Marvel and shit since then. Hulk's in a weird spot where he can be in Marvel movies, but without a deal with Universal, they can't distribute an individual Hulk movie.
Oh.
I think Namor's in the same position, except Marvel doesn't have the film rights. It's like Universal has distribution and somebody else has production or something weird like that.
Gotcha.
But either way, Namor is like the one that they really don't have. without a deal.
Can I read this quote from a Bob Iger conference call?
Sure.
So, early Thursday, 8 a.m., Bob Iger gets on conference call with people that have stakes in both 21st Century and Disney, their board of directors individually, and says, with 20th Century Fox Film, I don't know why they're like, someone needs to standardize whether it's 21st Century or 20th Century. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because it's when movies that's play.
First thing
21st
on the docket
century.
For Disney.
Yeah. With 20th Century Fox Film, we have the opportunity to expand iconic franchises for new generations of fans around the world, just as we have with Marvel and Star Wars, he said in the first call at 8 a.m. Eastern Time. The obvious example is Avatar, which is still the single highest grossing movie in history. We've already worked with James Cameron to expand the storytelling into spectacular new lands called Pandora, the World of Avatar, which opened in Disney's Animal Kingdom in Orlando earlier this year. And we are very excited by the opportunity to continue that relationship, especially related to the series of Avatar films he's currently working on. Does anybody notice he's not mentioning Marvel yet?
Of course not.
We're also looking forward to expanding the Marvel Cinematic Universe to include X-Men, Fantastic Four, and Deadpool, Iger continued. And to reuniting all of the Star Wars movies ever made under one roof again, which opens new opportunities for the iconic franchise. This latter quote references the distribution rights of Star Wars Episode IV, which until this agreement, Fox has held in perpetuity, which means that
fucking
like...
Wouldn't you, though?
Like... Well, now there's going to be the ability to release the ultimate collection of Star Wars.
That's true. Here, especially and after 9 comes out. Here,
please, God,
that.
Disney, release the originals.
Please give me those. Please give me those.
You know how hard it is to even find a fucking pirate version of the theatrical
releases?
Yeah,
it's really hard.
Like, it is insanely hard.
But I know the vaults at Fox and Disney have the original negatives, man.
Of course they do.
Like, and there's no reason you cannot scan that technology into Blu-ray and make sure that, like, I have that for myself. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. I wouldn't even mind if they just re-released the special editions but took out the dumb shit. Like, the whole Han shooting first.
Or the whole Han walking over Jabba.
Yeah.
Walking over Jabba.
So yeah, there's a scene in front of the Millennium Falcon before Luke and Obi-Wan get there, before Luke sells his speeder, where Han, it's after he shoots Greedo. He's like, why did you kill Greedo? And Han's like, next time you want to talk to me, don't send one of these twerps.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And he, like, in that scene, he walks around the actor playing Jabba. So in it, they fucking Photoshop him essentially going, rrrt, rrrt, over Jabba's tail. But they use Jabba's, like, reaction to pull the audience focus.
Yeah.
But
really
if you watch
terrible.
Han, it's fucking awful. It's
really?
Like...
Yeah,
it's
really
bad. So what does this call mean to the consumer? What it means is Iger is saying we have this chance to make it all unified over the course of everything, and hey, look how successful Avatar was, and look at what Disney's done with that. We can do that with everything. So,
I mean, I'd go to Star Wars Land.
For us, yeah, they're building it.
Yeah, that's literally being built.
For us, that's good, right? For the regular consumer, we get to see like all of our favorite fucking shit, having more interactions with all of our other favorite fucking shit.
This means that Marvel Studios can now make movies with X-Men, Fantastic Four,
Deadpool,
and all of those, all related characters, all the villains.
Did they get Ghost Rider back with this?
They've already had it.
Oh.
Yeah, he's had it. We talked.
It was on S.H.I.E.L.D.
We've had this conversation like 2 weeks ago.
No, it's had a bit.
The reason we're following through on this is because it's been about a 2 to 3 month conversation.
Yeah.
And ever since, I think it, without the success of this of Sony's Spider-Man deal, I don't think that we would see this deal for Fox. Fox was like, oh shit, really?
No, I don't think the Sony deal had anything to do with it because it's not like.
It's an example.
Like, Sony just. Gave the rights back, sort of. They have shared rights. Like, Sony can still make Spider-Man movies, but they can share the character. Disney just bought Fox. They were like, fuck a deal. Fuck you. You're ours. And they would just do that anyways. But now
it is a deal for money.
We get all the characters under one roof.
So let's break down some realities real quick.
Okay.
New Mutants, Deadpool 2, and X-Men Dark Phoenix. Not going to be in the MCU.
Not in the MCU.
Because these are already in post-production. These are already these are done.
Yeah. I can see Deadpool doing something.
Like, yeah, they shoot something real quick with Deadpool, yeah, real quick. I can totally see that. Like him and Iron Man or something real quick.
It could even be an after-credits scene.
Could totally see that. I agree.
Like, this is the bridging, Deadpool's bridge.
Or they do some fucking CG shit in the background and they just have Ryan Reynolds record some ADR.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's Tony Stark's tower. Yeah, sure. Moving on.
Yeah.
But so those three movies are pretty much locked. But everything after that is actually up in the air. Gambit and X-Force already in development, but they can be altered.
I think when it comes to those kind of movies, Disney would either just let those go and not connect them or cancel them and redo X-Men.
Redirect it, yeah.
I don't think Gambit's ever going to happen.
There's some worry about the X-23 movie, though. The X-23 spinoff of Logan.
Yeah.
They might want to reuse Laura in another spot in the MCU because it's been touted that Logan is not canon. That's like, true. Logan is a what-if story, so they might be able to, like, still use Wolverine and put X-23 somewhere else in the story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is, that's probably the biggest disappointment I have with
Right, we don't
canceling.
Get to see, like, a Laura story.
Yeah, because she was so great.
She was so fucking good.
Yeah, and Logan was such a great
movie.
Have
you had a chance to watch Logan in black and white yet?
No.
Oh, my God. So, all you need is you get a legitimate copy of the movie, whatever way you do it. Open it up in VLC Movie Player, and you can change it from color to grayscale.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, they did release a black and white version.
They did.
Which I think is probably a little more optimized.
Probably.
For sure is.
But if you don't want to buy that, you know, you got another option.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so, shit, dude, I'm fucking excited.
So did you
see
what Ryan Reynolds posted on Twitter right away? It's Deadpool being escorted out of Disneyland. Apparently, you can't actually blow the Matterhorn.
Yeah.
And this was one. This last part of the story is the one I found most interesting. The Fox buyout that Disney did actually gives Disney a minor stake in Boom Studios. Earlier this year, I broke a story on Comics Brew about 20th Century Fox buying a stake in Boom Studios. Mm-hmm. I think we even talked about it as news this year.
I think so.
And it's just kind of weird. Like, as a happenstance, comic book series like Goldie Vance, Lumberjanes, Mouse Guard, and Rust, as well as Irredeemable and Incorruptible, those are all now under the Disney roof.
I can see Lumberjanes being developed
as a show.
A show,
yeah. And I can totally see, like, some kind of animated version of Irredeemable.
That'd be rad.
We don't know, like, so I think that was just kind of like a happy coincidence. I don't know if Disney planned that.
Yeah, I doubt they planned it. I think if anything, they just wanted to make a lot more money, and they were like, well,
here's how we do it.
Fox.
Marvel movies make a shitload of money, and everybody wants all the heroes together.
I would indeed love to see what happens if they actually do get a chance to produce some Boom Studios stuff.
James Gunn also tweeted something, a picture of, like, some X-Men, and it just said, welcome home.
Nice.
He's stoked about it. I'm stoked about it. We're finally going to get to see a good Doctor Doom.
So now it comes back to that question we had last time, like, who do you cast?
Mads Mikkelsen, but that's too late
for
that. Yeah.
Unless Caecilius comes back as Doom or some shit.
No, that would be too weird.
The infamous Caecilius.
I've been thinking, I don't know who would be a good Doom, but I think I
Ryan Gosling.
No. Well, I think Mads would be perfect because he's a good actor, but also he's got a little bit of an accent.
Sure.
And that's what I think is necessary.
We said this exact thing 2 weeks ago.
I thought I told you when we watched Star Wars.
Maybe. I have a horrible memory sometimes.
Yeah.
It's just rattling around.
But I can't think of another actor that would fit that description. But either way, just fuck it. We get Dr. Doom. He's going to be the perfect post-Thanos villain.
Do you think he could be... I agree. I think he could definitely be an all-encompassing bad guy.
But he could also... He wouldn't necessarily just be like, this is the big evil bad guy we gotta beat. It's like he can be there as something to challenge heroes, but he's never... He's not necessarily like a big evil end boss. He's just an antagonist. Sometimes he's right.
Yeah.
Or sometimes he's morally gray, but usually kind of a bad guy.
Well, then I would see him organizing a cabal.
Yeah.
That's what I would see him doing. In the name of Letvaria or in the name of Doom or whatever.
Yeah.
You organize a cabal in the MCU and you get, like, you start bringing in some of these greater X-Men and Fantastic Four villains to help you do it. You bring it, like, you finally get a chance to reorganize the Hellfire Club and you get a chance to do, you, like, you get that under control. You, you make sure that you can get a Skrull on your side, Skrull or two, and then, yeah, have Doom lead the whole thing.
Dude, I just... There's so many things you can do. But also the villain roster just got crazy expanded.
It did. You got like Mr. Sinister back in play.
Yeah. Oh man. See that on the mutants. That's gonna have a humongous impact on Marvel Comics. Like the comic side of comics.
Oh yeah, comics are coming back.
Like we're gonna get more Fantastic Four comics. They already started bringing them back.
But, yeah, they brought
but,
the.
Like, we
the
haven't had
team
one
up.
In a yeah. long time, and while nobody Ooh. But CB Sobolski is gonna admit it, it's because they didn't have the film rights.
I saw it. I sent that image of what Jim Zub predicted for Marvel in the next 20 years. Did you guys see that? I linked it to you guys.
I know, but then it was like, the last one was like 150 years later, Batman's still the best-selling comic.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the way of things. But, yeah, we're very, 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 very stoked about this. My enthusiasm doesn't come through because I'm hungover, but I'm very excited about this.
Fuck, man. There we go. Got it. I was hoping that I would be able to find it. let's see. Jim Zub said, December 14th, 2017, 8 a.m., C.B. Sobolski awakens to 86 different Fantastic Four comic relaunch pitches hitting his inbox. May 3rd, 2019, Avengers 4 ends with the Reality Stone shattering, subtly introducing the X-Gene into the population of Earth, beginning the mutant age for MCU Phase 4 and beyond. 2020. New Marvel Max Studios takes over R-rated movie TV properties, including Marvel Netflix shows and Deadpool. Mole Man and the Monsters Unleashed movie trilogy announced. First film hits theaters in 2028. 2032. Disney Imagineering announces Latveria Land, a park addition to open in time to capitalize on the global release of Fantastic Four number 4, Forthright Fortitude. 2040, Epcot's Spaceship Earth will become the Cerebro Experience. Guests are guided through a psychic journey across the planet hosted by Charles Xavier. One person chosen at random each ride as a gifted student and receives a certificate welcoming them to study in Westchester. 2047, Disney acquires U.S. government in friendly merger. New national security system dubbed Project Uatu. 2099, Marvel Comics' radical awesome version of the future merges with reality in Grant Morrison-worthy Continuum Explosion. Son of a Glitch becomes Merriam-Webster's new phrase of the year. 2186, Batman still top-selling comic title.
Yep.
I love Jim Zub. He's the guy who's currently writing Thunderbolts, or he was recently writing Thunderbolts with Bucky as the team leader.
Mm.
But that's going to do it for news this week, everybody, and it's time to get into the Bruzy nominations.
The Bruzy nominations.
If this is your first time experiencing the Bruzies, let me break it down to you. The last episode of every year, every calendar year, Comics Brew breaks down the best and worst of comics.
It's the most prestigious award in the comic
book
industry.
The most prestigious.
Absolutely. So we go over comic book titles, comic book artists, writers, colorists. We break it down for you for TV shows, for movies. We also have most underrated stories. We do, on the actual Bruzy episode, we will do our best Bruise of the year, our best returning Bruise, all that stuff. And also, we have an honorary Chrissy Poo's poo-poo platter.
It's poo-poo pile.
It's poo-poo like pile. The, what are the...
The biggest letdown of the year.
Yeah, what are the movie awards for shitty movies?
The Razzies.
The Razzies. It's our own Razzie.
Yeah, and then, of course, actually, not of course, a new addition to this year... We'll be giving out some Lifetime Achievement Awards. Looking forward to a couple of those, one in particular. But let's break down our nominations for this calendar year. But also I want to point out, if there's something that you think we missed or something that deserves a nomination or a nod, let us know.
Well, you know, we're probably going to pick off of this list. If somebody brings something up that we somehow forgot that is...
That does need a knowing.
Yeah, like, it is actually better than what we've remembered. then yeah, maybe it'll win.
Like, for instance,
basically, what we're saying is the nominations don't matter and everything's made up, but we're going to nominate anyways.
Is that how most award ceremonies work?
Well,
I want to thank the Academy.
Normally.
And God.
And my mother.
And the big J. Jesus.
I thought you were going to say Josh, but it's okay.
No, I won't.
Best writer, Tyler.
I nominated John Allison for Giant Days because...
Why?
He has crafted the comfiest comic I've ever read in my life.
Comfiest? Like, you snuggle up with it and you're like, just like, yeah, comics.
It's
just so
comfy. Like, it's just this slice of life comic, but still every single issue, as soon as I see it's on the shelf, I'm like, hey, hell yes! Fuck yeah! Giant Days week!
Nice.
I'm always down with it. He has made the daily lives of three university girls just the best thing I look forward to. He's an incredible writer.
I gotta tip my hat to Mr. Tom King. He's taken the reins of Batman over the last 2 years to a new epic. The War of Jokes and Riddles was really good, but I also have to give it to him for his role in writing the Batman and Flash version of the Button series. His Batman really fucking killed me. And then he also wrote the Batman Elmer Fudd crossover.
Which was one of the wackiest things I've ever heard of.
But it was fucking dope, dude. It was a noir story told from Elmer Fudd's perspective. Elmer Fudd was a contract killer and shit. It was really dope. So I have to give him all the props for that shit.
I'm actually not giving it to a comic book writer. I'm giving it to a television writer. I'm giving it to Riley Rosmo.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
Category. I'll give it to Ken Christensen.
Yes.
For the Punisher episode number 10 of Virtue of the Vicious, it is the hotel episode of the Punisher.
Oh, so rad.
So fucking so rad.
Good. So good.
You know how they had to write that, right? They had to write that as it's shot.
Yeah.
So like that, or not as it's shot, as it's viewed is how they write it.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to include those time skips in there and stuff, and that's really cool. That's a good nomination, dude.
It's a little bit different. I didn't actually read as much this year as I did the last year. So coming up with some of these categories was a little tough. And you'll see that in some of my nominations are a little oddball.
But that's a good one. I like that one.
Mm-hmm.
Best artist. I'm going to go first on this one. Got to give it up to Sean Murphy for Batman White Knight. Only because of that image of Joker cowering in his cell and he's got all the Bat memorabilia.
Oh, yep.
But then, you know, also the rest of that fucking gorgeous comic. Yeah. But that one image alone, I was like, this is the best thing I've seen this year. It's got all the different versions of Batman in that scene.
Yeah, it's a pretty goddamn good book.
Who wants to go next?
I will, actually. I'm giving best artist to Riley Rosmo for The Batman Who Laughs, because that comic looks rad as fuck.
Did you read it?
No, but I love it.
If you go back and look at the scene where Batman pulls the guns on his kids,
mm-hmm.
If you look, Jason was about to shoot him, but
Batman
got him first. Like, Jason has the gun like aimed at Batman, but he gets shot in the head right as it happens.
Yep. Yeah.
It's so, like, I love that Jason caught on first. Mm-hmm. This is just such a little thing. But yeah, Riley did that
specifically. I flipped through the book. I looked at the pictures, but I did not look at the words, and that's why it gets best artist.
Right on. Well, I'm throwing up Jeremy Opeña for Seven to Eternity.
And this one might take it.
Because he has crafted an unbelievably gorgeous world. Like, every single issue, there's something new and crazy.
So what we might have to do is like do side-by-side comparisons of these three before we do it on the day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just give it a look real quick between the three of us, because all of these are like awesome, to be honest. Every one of these artists is amazing.
So we also got best colorist, which is a similar but different category.
So color, but different. The way that I give it, the way I describe colorists is they set the mood, they set the tone, they... Like, for instance, in Moon Knight, Declan Shelby set the tone of that comic by making him a stark white against the rest of the story.
Yeah, a good colorist will add a lot to a book.
Mm-hmm. And I think that they are just as crucial as any other part of the comic. So for my nomination of colorist, I gave it to Ivan Plasencia for The Batman Who Laughs. The reason I did that is because the scenes where they're flashing back into the corruption of Batman are stark differences to the scenes where it's the Batman Who Laughs laughs at the card table. Mm-hmm. And those are done not only through the regular artist, but Riley Rossimo, but also the colors of it. Like, the tone behind the Batman Who Laughs is all, like, this washed-out black. But then when you're in the Batcave and stuff, you get those familiar warm, not warm, but those familiar Batman purples and blues and stuff.
Right.
Which I think is important to delineate the difference in the yeah. times.
I am throwing up Jeff Lemire for AD. He drew the whole thing. I mean, I think Jeff Lemire is a good artist. I'm not a huge fan of his art style, though.
Sure.
But the way he colored that book,
that's After Death, right? That was like three parter with AD Snyder. After Death.
Yep. Because it was mostly prose, but with a lot of, it was kind of weird. There's pages with some panels, and then pages with like big sections of prose, and then art on like splashed on there.
On top of it, yeah.
The way he did the watercolors and shit in that book actually really set the kind of tone and mood of it. And part of the world is that there was this like a new color or some shit that like fucked up the world.
No shit, really.
Well, it's not like a new color. There's like this crazy field, but it's, if I remember, it's described as like an indescribable color.
Sure.
And when he draws that, it's like this crazy rainbow of watercolors. So I think he did a fantastic job with coloring of that book, just setting the mood and the tone for it. It was fantastic.
Fair enough. I'm going with Jason Wordy for God Country. Again, going back to the mood, this dude did a very good job of... So God Country kind of deals with an old man with Alzheimer's and...
Alzheimer's.
No, Alt-timers.
Okay.
So there's a lot of emotion swings in the book, and he does a very good job of letting the colors let you know that without having any of the characters come right out and say it, or the art, the actual drawings themselves come out. It's just like you feel a transition through the panels with the color changes and the color shifts, and it feels really smooth and helps communicate a very large amount of the feeling of the book.
So the thing that I think stands out about it is the first, you'll probably bring it up in a little bit, but also the first cover is colored by him too.
Yeah.
And it's that central orange peak against the rest of the sky.
Mm-hmm.
That I think is what you're kind of hinting at there, is like that's where that key, transition is, though, that where that key change is.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That makes it like, okay, this is the significance.
Mm-hmm. Well, and like, since the book deals with some... otherworldly characters and situations, like the color shift between the normal world, which you'll get like your browns and your greens and stuff throughout the entire book, but then into the psychedelic and kind of like a
blue orange almost. Like, yeah.
Well, it's a pretty pretty shocking difference in the way that these two places are colored. Which it fucking feels really nice. Well done. Yeah.
Best cover is one that is always close. Tyler won.
Disputed.
Tyler won last year with that fucking sick samurai Darth Vader.
The Darth Vader cover was
rad.
Yeah,
that one was pretty rad.
But this year I'm nominating Dark Knight's Metal, The Red Death by Jason Fabok.
That's a good cover.
That's a fucking fantastic cover, guys.
I'm actually going with God Country number one. We were just talking about it.
Same shit.
This is what it is, so I don't think you've seen it. It's an old man with a giant sword walking into a tornado.
My background on my computer is Jason Fabok's The Red Death.
Have you guys seen the one that I nominated?
I'm looking up
Rasputin, Voice of the Dragon.
It's sitting on the table.
For sure I have.
Yeah, the Mike Mignola variant for Rasputin, Voice of the Dragon number one. It's basically it's Rasputin in front of the dragon with a bunch of Mignola classic kind of art stuff going on around it. But it also is kind of like foggy and faded in on the edges.
Oh, I see it. Yeah, it's got the Nazi symbol and stuff around it.
It's just kind of the way Mignola does stuff. You know, it's some central figure and then a bunch of weird shit behind him. But I just really, really love the image for some reason.
It's really good. I like how it kind of fades in and out as you get to
and
the
also, I told
top
Adam this, but if I ever get a tattoo, it's going to be of some Mignola art.
Yeah, you told all of us this. You told this in a comic.
But I want one of his skulls.
Oh, okay.
And that he, like, on the front of that cover is a really great Mignola skull.
There is. It's kind of actually, it looks a little stunted and squished.
It's kind of just how he does them.
You should take that skull and then take the way he draws Hellboy's shaved down horns.
And put
them on the skull.
No, if I did it, it would just be the broken horns and his crown.
Do both.
Yeah, why not? So that's my nom.
Let's move on, guys, from best cover to best limited series. Now, the caveat for this is this limited series has to have begun in 2017.
Yeah, that's partially because a couple years we've had things that like
started in
September and aren't done yet. We're like, this is fucking rad.
Yeah,
so, which really sucks for those titles because
they're fucking great. So
they're great, but
for
they're in this weird leeway spot where they never get best limited.
I ran into a fucking problem this year.
Yeah,
I had Unworthy Thor and Justice League vs. Suicide Squad, both fucking great comics. And I can't nominate them because they both started in December of 2016.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
God damn it. Because The Unworthy Thor was dope.
It was real good.
It was really good. We finally learned what Nick Fury said. We learned where Beta Ray Bill fit into the story. And that Thor wouldn't take Bill's hammer. And you're just like, fucking best friend ever. And then, the Justice League vs. Suicide Squad. That was a solid 5-week series that just served its purpose.
The line.
Yeah,
my favorite comic of the year fit right into being a limited of this year. So
go ahead.
I'm nominating God Country for best limited of the year. It's only 6 issues long, and it's fucking dope.
Started in January, ended this year.
Yeah,
it's Adam's nomination is like the definition of best limited series.
It's about an old man that's losing his mind and, because of it, forgetting who his family is, finds a crazy magical sentient sword that lets him not only remember shit but become fucking damn near all-powerful, and he decides to kill some goddamn gods. And just an old man wrecking stuff in the most fun way. It's an amazing book, and it's only 6 issues, and they read fairly quickly, so... It is.
It's an Image title.
Quality.
It's all going to the creators. Donny Cates is a good writer. Jeff Shaw's got great art. I agree.
I ran into the same problem as Josh. I wanted to do the Green Valley, but that started in October last year.
Right?
Yeah, so that...
That was a 9-issue comic?
Seven, I think.
Okay.
It was fantastic. But instead, I kind of stretched the definition of a limited series.
Absolutely stretched.
But I think it still counts.
It works with the spirit of the story.
Yeah. the Dark Knights metal, the Dark Knights one-shots.
Yeah, so we're talking about Batman the Red Death, the Murder Machine, Devastator.
Just the individual one-shots. Yeah, just the one-shots.
The Drowned, Dawnbreaker, the Merciless, the Batman Who Laughs.
The Murder Machine.
Yeah, I
said that.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah.
I think I even did it in order.
Yeah, I think you did, actually. I thought those were a fantastic limited series. There wasn't an issue with that I didn't like.
Yeah, all of them were fucking thought-provoking.
They all fit.
They all fit a sort of style until you got to the Batman Who Laughs. Like, every one of them was like, you start off and here's the invasion, and then you go back in time, and then here's the rest of the invasion.
Yeah.
In The Batman Who Laughs, it was like, here's the corruption.
Yeah, it was a little different than the rest, but it...
Are you including, like, Bruce Wayne Lost in that, or the Dark Knight, the Dark Days, the casting and the Forge?
No, I'm specifically just
the Dark Knights.
Just the Dark Knights.
Nice. You got a favorite out of those?
I don't know. I don't know.
Murder Machine is really good.
Murder Machine is really good.
Murder Machine is the cyborg.
Well, that's right.
I wouldn't like that one very much, and then I read it, and I was like, this is fucking rad.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Dawnbreaker was good.
They all kind of blew me away in one way or another. So that's why I thought the special limited this
Red
series.
Death has the super, fucking car.
Oh, the Flash. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man, that one was good. They're all great.
Yeah. And so mine is actually right along the same lines. Best limited series for me is Dark Knights Metal, the 1-6 issues. We got the first issue fucking September. And
Then
we're going to get issue number 4 in December. But I'm calling it, like, this is my favorite fucking limited series this year.
But there's 6 of them, aren't there?
Yeah.
So it goes into next year.
Yeah, but it has to start this year.
It starts this year. Fair enough.
Yeah.
You're just really banking on the stays quality.
Hoping this is the one time.
So far,
the one time I'm hoping that Scott Snyder sticks a landing.
Oh man, aren't you gonna have egg on your face when that doesn't happen?
I will eat some crow, bro. I will eat some crow.
I think by definition, mine should win because it's the only thing that started and ended, and we know is quality.
That's
all the
argument.
Through.
We don't know.
Well,
that.
Well, no, we know mine started and ended this year, and
that's
it's quality.
True.
Yeah, but it's the
you know what I should have done? I should have done the like that 4-part through the Justice League that happened, the Dark Knights.
Maybe, yeah. Whatever. Either way, next up we got best ongoing comic.
I got to give this one to Birthright. There's no way I can argue another comic.
We should also mention that this is sort of the Saga caveat.
Oh, yeah. We can't give it to Saga.
Can we name this category after Saga? Like, this is the Saga
award? The Can't Be Saga award?
Yeah.
I don't think we need to name it that, but that's sort of the undercurrent there. The best ongoing that isn't Saga.
Saga, yeah.
The Saga's just so fucking good.
The 8 Saga award?
Yeah. So, yeah, Josh, you got Birthright.
I give it to Birthright because, goddamn, it's still quality.
Yeah, that book is amazing. Have you read the latest issue?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. It's so fucking good. I'm going to throw it to Wicked and Divine, though.
Which is surprisingly still a thing. That's my take on that. It's like, damn, this thing's still going.
And it's still fucking great.
Nice.
This year, a lot of crazy shit happened in that book, so it's ramping up a little harder.
I stopped reading, but you told me like what's been happening, and I'm like, holy shit, really?
Yeah, like shit got crazy. Adam, what do you got?
I am going with best ongoing because it didn't start and finish in this year, so it's not limited, even though I'm sure it has an end.
Is it one of blank?
I don't know.
Because this might be a limited series.
I got it.
But it's ongoing into the next year. It's not
That's
over.
Not the definition of ongoing.
I don't give a fuck. How about that?
Josh, what's the verdict? What is
I'm
it?
I'm looking it up.
But I'm going with Family Trade. And I know it's not going to win.
It
but...
does just say issue one.
Yeah, hold on.
There you go. It's ongoing.
And
Number 4 is out now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I am behind.
Oh, no. That's next month.
Okay. I didn't think 4 was out yet.
Number 3 is out next week. Number 3 is out this week.
Hey, guys, so just so you know what my review will be next week.
We're not doing a review next week, bitch.
I'm still going to talk about Family Trade number 3. But, yeah, Family Trade is what I'm doing. And only because I really enjoy this world that they've built, this floating continent that kind of acts as not completely independent from the rest of the world, but as a neutral ground for the rest of the world for trade and commerce, even though the inhabitants of the island are not neutral towards each other at all. There's a lot of espionage and secrets and stuff. It's a really, really interesting world, and that is the reason it gets my best ongoing.
So one of the things we pride ourselves on here at Comics Brew is that we like to try new comics. We like to try new things. Unfortunately, Tyler and I tried new DC things, and my best new comic is
probably the best about trying new things.
My best new comic is definitely Batman White Knight. This shit is dope.
Good series.
This stuff is great. Writing and art is all done just at the top-notch level. The story so far, even though we're only 3 issues in, is just ridiculous.
Yeah, I probably would have nominated this if you hadn't, so I decided to throw something different up there. Dark Knight's Metal.
It's a great premise.
Yeah.
It's a great premise.
Well, I didn't nominate it for my best limited, even though it is limited, because...
it's an event.
The reason I didn't nominate for best limited is because of your little mention of who knows if you'll stick the landing.
Yeah, exactly.
But so far, it's a damn good ride.
I'm actually going with the only book from Marvel that got nominated this year. I'm going with Best New Comic, Kingpin. Now, it's only a 5-issue limited series. It almost got my best limited, but it's not as good as God Country. However, it is not a superhero story. There is pretty much no superpowers. A superhero shows up just once, and it's literally just the Kingpin trying to tell his story, and you get an insanely good look at how he manipulates the people around him. And because of that, yeah, it got my best new comic. It is a super fun little read.
So next up, this one's a little bit of a weird category.
Most underrated, we're going to leave for next week. Sorry, that's my bad. That's my bad, yeah.
Okay.
Well, because we changed that last year to, like, this is everyone's
individual award.
Yeah. My bad.
Best
television or streaming service or streaming show.
Yeah, and this is just not a movie, but a film, or I guess you could put animated in here.
Yeah, can we run? Can we run through the list real quick? Just of all of the comics, all the comic properties that are on the table. All right. Flash, Green Arrow,
Legends of Tomorrow,
Supergirl, Legends of Tomorrow. That's 4. Walking Dead is 5. Gotham is 6.
Oh shit! What else we have? We had Inhumans.
We had the Defenders. We had Iron Fist. We had Punisher.
Shield.
11. What about the
Happy now?
Happy
11. The Archie that's 12.
Riverdale 13.
Yeah.
And there's got to be more we're forgetting, too. There's so much out there right now.
There's got to be something we're forgetting easily. So that's 13 there's that we lot. Can come off on the yeah. top of our heads. But oddly enough, Adam and I nominated the same set.
Because it's the best shit.
The Punisher.
Yes.
The Punisher is a fantastically shot, it's fantastically really written, fantastically acted Marvel series.
Jon Bernthal, best Frank Castle ever.
Yeah, which is weird, right? Because I really liked Ray Stevenson as him in Warzone. I really dug Thomas Jane.
Thomas Jane was
the Punisher.
So I remember a couple years ago when...
The Dirty Laundry episode came out, and you're just really like, good. Fuck, he's back.
Yeah, no, when... right before so Daredevil Season 2 came out, and we knew that Jon Bernthal was playing the Punisher, and we were all iffy because...
I was not. I said, give him a chance. I mean, we totally said it.
I was definitely give him a chance.
But yeah,
of course you guys were, because you know Shane. But I had seen Wolf of Wall Street.
Wolf of Wall Street was the only reason that I was a bit optimistic, because in Wolf of Wall Street he was fucking great. Even though his part was small, it's fun.
Ma, we got chicken or what?
Yeah,
that's him.
But now he is the live action Punisher.
He's totally the Punisher.
Yeah,
he inhabits Frank Castle for me.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And the only reason I'm not siding with Tyler on this. Is just because that it was at Netflix and had the chance to be the Punisher that we needed him to be.
Yes.
Because
the one we deserved, goddammit.
Yeah, and I am right there with Tyler, though, on S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, that's my nomination to S.H.I.E.L.D. because I thought that
it was the Ghost Rider season. It was the Ghost Rider season, dude.
Yeah, they did Ghost Rider so well. They did a bunch of weird shit in the last season, and now the new one started up.
The framework was nuts.
Yeah, and with the new season starting up, they've launched it in a completely different direction.
It's crazy. You can totally tell that, like, fuck it, it's the last one. We're gonna do it.
So does Ghost Rider ever come back at the end of the last season?
Yeah, he does.
Okay. And he makes a deal with Coulson, and they bring it up.
Yeah.
They bring it up when they're like, this isn't some shit you did with Ghost Rider, and Coulson's like, nah, this has nothing to do with what we talked about.
Yeah, it's rad as hell. I need to watch that season
just because I love Ghost. Ghost Rider is such a
weird character. Robbie Reyes, that's a really good addition to that series.
Yeah.
Really, really solid addition to that series.
To the Ghost Rider world? Or
to the Ghost Rider world or just to S.H.I.E.L.D. Either way.
Yeah, he was a fantastic character.
This is going to be television is going to be a hard one for us because...
What, no, all it's of us two out of three.
No, because I totally agree with Tyler too.
But it wasn't your nomination, dog.
It's true, it wasn't. But
so we have another category, best movie, and I think we should save it because we're all pretty much in agreement.
Yep.
Fine, new category. We have some honorable mentions. Let's run down the. How about we run down the list like we did for television?
Okay.
So first of the year we got Guardians, mm-hmm. and then we got Spider-Man, then we got Thor, then we got then we got Justice League, then we got Wonder Woman, then we got Kingsman: The Golden Circle. We got the Batman and Bill documentary, which is really fucking good.
I still haven't watched that.
I like how you phrase this on the honorable mentions. Wonder Woman and some parts of Justice League.
And some parts of Justice League.
And those parts of Justice League were pretty damn good.
Except for that goofy fucking Flash run.
Yeah, oh my God.
Don't nominate that.
or Zack Snyder's writing.
Yeah. You know, he was in charge of that slow scene in front of the bodega that was getting robbed. Like, when people are like, we're losing hope. And they're, like, fucking taking out that Asian family.
Yeah.
The cops are, like, pulling people down
ridiculous.
And shit.
Ridiculous.
Lastly, we've got Chrissy Poo's Poo-Poo Pile, the biggest letdown of the year.
What I think is funny is we all have the same character, but in different versions.
No, we don't.
Don't we?
We don't.
You don't.
No, you don't at all.
So maybe we should save this one, too.
No, fine. We do save this one. Okay. Chrissy Poo's Poo-Poo Pile is being saved.
So we were going to until I changed my mind. That's right. But then I realized that my nomination was way worse than the comic version of your guys's.
Yeah.
So, we got some nominations. Please be sure to submit your own. If we miss something or if something deserves mentioning, please let us know. That's across the board. Also, if you've had a great beer this year, let us know what it was.
Yes. Or if you heard something that we talked about that sounded really good, remind us. Because I've been going back through the last years with the stuff, trying to pick out my favorites, and it's still rough.
It is rough. But you'll have a whole week to give us that kind of stuff. Be sure to check out Waiting for Players and all of the other great content from the Lazy Knights. And we'll see you guys next week for the 5th annual Bruzy Awards.
The most prestigious comic award in history.
Goodbye.